What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that knows when you're smiling.
Oh, God.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. My name's Terry.
And my name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Could have got on there. Could have done a whole nother verse.
I was really hoping you would go to verse two.
But I'm smiling.
Yeah.
You know why I'm smiling?
Yeah, and to do with your team beating the brakes off my team this weekend.
Yes, sir.
I mean, beating the brakes might be a bit generous, but...
Yeah, do you reckon?
I mean, you deserved it. I don't know about beating the brakes. First half... Certainly. I was worried. The first half, I thought, this is going to be like...
You're muck.
I was like, this is going to be your 7-0 or something. Like, you know.
Would have been good.
So, all things considered, considering how bad we were in that first half, you know. It was just... Do you know what? It's just... I'm fine with it.
Sure,
I'm fine with it.
Seem it.
So, you need to get 7 points ahead of me for the doubler.
Yeah, just one more point.
You'll get it as well. We're dropping more points.
Who we got?
Chelsea, Saturday, 12:30.
Easy 3 points there, the way they're going.
Now, yes, except they've got, what, 6 straight losses?
Yeah.
A bunch of out-of-form players. It's the perfect time to play Liverpool. This is a team's wet dream, is to play. If your team is struggling, Liverpool is the team to play. Because we are the easiest
Chelsea
team to
Chelsea are the team to play at the moment, like...
Yeah, but, you know, who's gonna outshit the other one is the question. And I feel like, I don't know.
What's gone on? What do you think's gone on?
I don't know, but you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I've been hearing a lot of little references from Van Dijk during the week said there's a lot of work needed behind the scenes. I'll elaborate more on that after the World Cup, but there's a lot needed to be done. Robertson has said before he leaves,
he's gone.
He wants to make sure the standards remain the same. Salah, in his interview with Gerrard, also said the same thing about imploring the standards not to drop. So I feel like the standards have dropped massively.
Who's to blame?
Well,
they're all leaders in the team.
They're all to blame and Slot's to blame. They're all to blame.
All crooks.
They're all crooks. You know, like, it's a weird one because, like, I was only saying in the video the other week, you might have seen it, but, like, it's the first time that I'm not looking forward to next season.
Can't say I'm subscribed.
At this, well, I mean, give me the sub. You don't have to watch, but give me the sub.
I am subscribed.
Okay, good. That's all I need.
I don't give you the watch. Oh, well, I did when you're in your
token
car.
Token first few minutes or seconds. But, yeah, I was so surprised to see the boy town.
One second.
The first comment, I was like, oh, let's see. Oh, not now, Terry. But yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, it feels like the standard's dropped. I don't think the longer Slot has been in charge of the team, the worse the team has got. And great that he won the league, but like, how often can you dine out on that? Like, the more he's put his imprint on the team, the worse we've
been. I'm seeing this narrative, and you know, Carragher was going on about it. Like,
what else is it like?
Recruitment has been very poor. Like, did you need 3 forwards? No. You needed a centre mid. You needed a centre half.
I think it's all of it. It's
you needed
all
a rifle. You never replaced... You brought in 2 wing-backs
to play full-backs.
Yeah. You know, you figured out... Like, last year, we had no holding midfielder. Gravenberch did a job there. Hasn't worked out this year. Never addressed it.
No.
Like that's a huge hole.
That was his big thing last year. He got the best out of Gravenberch and transformed him.
Like, a lot of the goals midfield. Like you got last year, it was kind of like Kante, where it was like Gravenberch is breaking up the attack and all of a sudden you're on the counter.
Yeah.
And Salah's lethal.
Yeah.
You know, did you still have Diaz last year?
Yes.
Yeah, so like another one that was like also chipping in, scoring goals. Like, you know...
I missed them all.
You sold Nunes and...
Oh, I mean, that broke my heart, obviously.
But then it just hasn't worked out with the strikers. Like, obviously, Isak...
No, Ekitike's done okay.
He's out till...
Okay.
Is he out till next year?
Till 2027, yeah.
Jesus.
I know, like... And
But like center half is, you have two center halves all year, and one of them's 34 and shite.
Yeah. Now we did buy your man Leone, who got injured 20 minutes into his debut.
I mean, that's one kid, 20-year-old center half. Like,
I mean, he's looks good though. I mean, I'm just saying, he looked good.
But like, it's Konate and Van Dijk, and never the twain shall part.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a combination of the players. I think it's the manager. I think it's the recruitment big time, because it was a very un-Liverpool like summer, which even at the time, I remember thinking like,
this is exciting.
Like, that's great. But has this ever worked?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I remember Spurs spunking all that Bale money and as the prime example. I'm like, has this ever worked? A massive upheaval like this.
Probably once with Real Madrid when they bought Zidane, Figo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kaká. You're like, well, okay.
But the problem that I find is that, like, a lot of the players were good last year. There's something in them now where they don't seem to... And this is what makes me think of the standard thing. It's like, I don't know if they're working as hard. I don't know what it is. But there's certain games where it's like, there's the pressing now. Let's fucking, and then look, lo and behold, we're playing well. Like, why aren't they doing that all the time? Why isn't, you know, like, it's the same players. It's only year on. They can't have just all gotten shit. You know what I mean? There's something there. Something will come out as like, well, you wouldn't believe how the standards have dropped or something. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I'm happy as a clown.
As for you guys,
top three,
Carrick for the job.
I, you know, if we'd won like 3-0, I would have been like, you know what, like, and I still am kind of like, yeah, like the people they're talking about is Iriola, and I don't know how much like more I'd be like, well, yeah, like he's obviously an upgrade on Carrick, like,
yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't even mind him.
He's good. He's a really good coach, and I'd be interested to see what he does with a better squad, because he's done very well with Bournemouth.
But this is the thing though, has he ever managed a big team?
No, like that's the thing.
And that's the big, like Thomas Frank and like a few of the others, like usually when they do come up from a small club,
it can, like,
it rarely actually works, does it though? Like, you know what I mean?
It's interesting, like Frank Lampard is a good example of this, where it's like he did well with Derby,
yeah,
missed out on promotion, got the Chelsea job, like because he was cheap.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, a fan favourite or whatever. And it kind of worked a bit with Ole. And then it was like, didn't work out for him. Got the Everton job. Didn't work out. Went back to Chelsea as a stopgap. Didn't work out. Now he's back in Coventry. And, like, he's got them promoted. So, like, he is a good manager. But, like, you know, it's... I don't know if the... Like, maybe if he got another big job now, like, 5 years into his managerial career, it might work out for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not sure it'll work out for Carrick at United, you know?
It's, do you know what? It's just a classic. It's like you've been down this road before of, like, I know that this, like, you would say when Carrick is like, oh, it's going to be Carrick till the end of the season. And then, even the jokes had already started before even the first result. Yeah. Like, and he'll do well. And then it'd be like, actually, he'll do. And everyone would be like, don't do that. But now the results have been very, very good.
I mean, I would say...
But he hasn't had Europe. He doesn't have...
No, I think a one-year contract is not the worst idea, to be honest.
I don't think you're just kicking the can down the road.
Well, not really, because then, like, you get another... Like, you get to judge him.
Develop?
Well, look at what he's done with Maynou. Like Maynou was playing him, was done. He was... I was like, oh my God, what has happened to this guy and under Amorim? Now, like, I watched him... Against Brentford and against Liverpool, like, he was fucking incredible. Like, all over the pitch, winning everything, like, passing, moving. I was like, this is what Ten Hag saw in him, brought him in. Like, he scored in the cup final against City. Completely did not fit with Amorim's vision at all.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not like Amorim is a fucking wanker. Like, I joked in the WhatsApp
group. Didn't you say fuck Amorim?
Yeah, because Maynou scored the winner. And I was like, imagine if we told Kobbie Maynou, like...
I know.
So, yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, there's building blocks there. But, like, I see stuff online where, like, and this is because the work Ruben Amorim has done. I'm like, what? I'm like, you know, Carrick's kind of stripped it back to basic. Four at the back, you know, a midfield base, letting Bruno be more involved towards the striker. And, you know, two wingers that are cutting in and are compact and work hard.
I have to say, it's the Best run of form that I've seen he's on in years.
Since Ten Hag's first season.
Yeah.
Which is 3
like,
years
where ago. It looks like an enjoyable experience to support and play for Man United at the minute. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
I think Ineos deserve a bit of credit for how they have bought last summer. Like, I think it was a good transfer window in terms of they brought in Cunha, they brought in Mbeumo.
Yeah, they were
they brought in Sesko. Like, they've all got 10 goals each. Yeah. He's our top scorer in the league. I think he's 11 goals now.
Yeah.
You don't like him?
I don't think he's that good, to be honest.
Well, compared to Hoyland.
But he's a creating chances. Oh, yeah. He's
compared better to, like, yeah, he, yeah. Like, it sticks. You know, he has a presence.
Yeah.
He brings people into the game more. Like, it was like table tennis at times with Hoyland, where it's just up, back, up.
I see Sesko gave a bit of the, looking into the goal for United second.
What do you think about the handball?
Do you know, like, I honestly would say, if it was for my team, I would say, didn't affect the trajectory at all. Yeah. Like, let's not be fucking so pedantic. But the fact that it was against me, I'm like, well, isn't the rule if it touches the hand in any capacity going into the goal?
But, like, it is inconclusive, I think.
No, because you can see his fingers go back.
But, what is that? Like, it doesn't, it's not no, like...
Like, the ball, finger, the ball's here, and they kind of... You can see it on the fingers... But even
but
still,
can
like,
you? If but
you,
can you?
You
like,
can.
But can you?
I mean, but like, if it was me, I'd be calling for it. If it was, you know.
Well,
I mean?
Here's what I say about that, though. If
I'll be honest,
if that is not given, it's a penalty and a red card for the foul, like 30 seconds before.
Can't
for
remember.
Curtis Jones, like he takes out Sesko, like breaks out. The play goes on.
So why didn't he call it there before? Why didn't he call it for a penalty then? Or a free or whatever.
But it's a VAR check. Like, they were showing it, and it's like, well, that's a foul there. Like, so it's.
Let me tell you something. The biggest annoyance for me was watching. Yeah, there's this fucking Arsenal Atletico match.
Oh my god! Just before we get on,
yeah, Arsenal, go on, yeah.
Liverpool. I thought Todd Carragher made a really good point.
Mm.
He's a soft.
Oh,
he's
very
a soft team. And I think one of the biggest things that they did well with United this year, they brought in Cunha and Mbeumo. Two strong wingers that, like, Cunha, I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. He's a bit of an arsehole. I like him. He's now our arsehole.
But you kind of needed that as well.
Somebody who can get the ball to feet. And you have three people around him and he can break out of that pack and then draw a foul or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not just you get the ball to feet and you're muscled off it and all of a sudden you're on the back foot.
That's
like,
what we're... Yeah, that's us this season.
Like, I get it. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
like,
that is worth.
Like, whereas with Diaz... And Salah last year as well, like not this year, but like last year, they were stronger, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just not happening this year. Like,
do you know what? The thing that I miss the most, you know, without trying to be too soft about it, as soft as my team, but what pains me almost more than the losses, I mean, the performances are really bad. It's the lack of connection that I feel I have with the team. The manager's over here, the team's over here, I'm over here. At least with Klopp, during Klopp's shit season, it was like, okay, this is how we're all going to do. I still felt very...
You had Alisson scoring that header. Like,
yeah,
you know,
do you know what I mean?
Moments.
I still believed that we could do it. I still felt very connected to the manager. I still loved the team. I watched all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, I was only saying the other day, like, I used to watch all the, like, you know, the carpooling with fucking whoever, Trent and Robbo, or whatever it was, and I'd love it. And now I can't remember the last time I've watched, let's see what the lads are up to behind the scenes, inside training. Like, I would watch all that stuff. Whereas now I'm like, I don't know if they still have them. Maybe because the season's bad, they don't show them. But like,
I'm not watching.
I don't really want to watch them, to be honest. But
good week for Arsenal.
Yeah, I know, man. I was turned
begrudgingly.
Around. The only thing that annoyed me, two things annoyed me so much.
It's tough to watch, man. It's tough stuff.
Very, very unenjoyable match. I mean, the goals that they're through to the final on. I'm sorry, I know we've Arsenal fans listening, all two of you, but. The penno and then the, you know, the deflected shot. Fine. And they deserve... Atletico were shite as well yesterday. So I could tell. Like, you know, I kind of thought, like, 85 minutes in, like, maybe Atletico will just bastard them up. I was thinking, they've got fucking nothing here.
Your man Sorloth should have been on from the start. I like him. Big guy.
Yeah, big tree.
Short name.
But two things. One was the Gabriel going to kick your man and then pretending he's injured. And then they... Should have conceded a penalty.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, I mean, Arteta was like, a kid who's just been told that he's about to go and get ice cream. He's just running like that last 5 minutes where all the Arsenal players are on the sideline, and he's running like trying to get the ball, like, oh, and he's like, the players are trying to take a throw in. He's like this right in their way. I'm like, will you sit the fuck down? And you know, I always think of that Always Sunny thing. It's like, act like you belong here. Like this whole thing, the fireworks going off and all this. I get it. It's a Champions League final. It's a huge deal. But like,
he was
insufferable that last 5 minutes. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to get the ball. Oh, whoa, wait, where am I over here? No, you go. I'm like, just fucking.
Friend of the podcast, when I was saying to him, and Paul, I hope you don't mind me saying this. We were texting and I was like, God, it's tough to watch. And I worry for them in whoever they get in the final. And
yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, it won't be like their semi-final. It'll be a cagey match. And I was like, oh, I just find it hard to watch, man. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, it's all heart, is what he described it as.
And I don't know if it is.
I don't. That's not a word I associate with.
I wouldn't associate
Arsenal.
It with heart. No, they're very
grit,
good.
Maybe.
At what they do. Yeah.
You know, grit. Metal.
Yeah.
Heart is not what, like, there's no, like. No.
There's no.
They're not
emotion.
The underdogs. They're a billion-pound machine that grind out results.
Yeah,
you know, there's churn
out results.
Look,
I'm not a big Arsenal man. I don't care for a few players, particularly Martinelli. I only saw recently what he did to Conor Bradley, if you remember. When
I remember that, yeah.
Like, he's out for a season-long injury. He there drops the ball on him first of all, and then shoves him. And I was
he's
like,
a
oh,
prick.
That little fucking weasel. But.
I will say, and I have been very critical of him all year, but Big Vic, he saved his best for game 52 or whatever in the season. I thought he was very good.
Jokerish.
Yeah, even though...
he's a bit mad looking, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Frankenstein.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Like, but, you know.
Frankenberry.
It's almost a shame Bayern PSG is the semi, because that's such a final in the making.
I was looking at it and I didn't realise that, like, Bayern came second in the table.
Right.
So they went over to the other side of the draw. And I was like, so second is rewarded with the side of the draw that has PSG, Real Madrid, Man City, Liverpool. And first is rewarded with these crumb bums, Bodo Glimt, Sporting Lisbon. All the stars are here.
It's so annoying.
I was like,
Liverpool finished first in that group last year. Got PSG knocked out straight away.
Champions elect.
Sound. Anyway, Terry, what else is going on?
I have a few things.
Yeah, what you got?
Want to talk about pandemic happening again, maybe?
What do you mean? What?
The Hanta virus.
What? What is this?
Some cruise ship. Hanta. The Hanta virus, yeah.
Hanta.
Hanta, I think it is.
H-A-N.
Do you remember that in The Simpsons?
T-A.
Where it was like Krusty brand gum. He's like, we knew it contained spider eggs, but the Hanta virus, it comes from like rat feces. Actually what Gene Hackman's wife died of.
Oh.
Remember there was a whole thing when like,
didn't they both die from it?
They both. He didn't die. I think he passed away first or something like that. Or like she was his carer. She passed away from that. And then he died like.
Not getting the care.
Yeah.
Oh.
But.
What about the dog?
What?
What about the dog?
I think it's the same thing.
Just starved?
Yeah, I think so. It's cruel. Cruel world, man. Sorry, but this cruise ship that the Hanta virus is.
How to get on that? First of all, it's like carrying around this virus, but we can never talk.
That's the gout dog.
We can never talk again.
It's just gonna be a ghost ship. Like
you just keep right on cruising.
We made it, Glenn. We made it. So that's happening, but it was like,
what is that?
It's person to person. It's normally like from rat droppings, but they're saying this is the first time it's like person to person.
Like
transmission.
What? Like saliva or
I don't
that?
Know. But
sneezing?
Then it was like, oh, one of the guests, the husband of one of the people that was on the cruise ship or the wife or something, she boarded the plane to South Africa. So we're like, oh, here we go.
And what's the
here
what's
it
the
comes
effects?
Again. Death is the effect. Apparently.
I was only just thinking about COVID recently.
We're doing another lockdown, aren't we?
I have two extra kids, and I tell you, I have not been the same since COVID. I feel like I am a totally different person after COVID, and I think like I remember the peak of it being mental was when, do you remember, it was like, okay, it's only essential shops are open. And I'd be going around Dunn's and I'd be like, no, these pajamas, yes, they are essential. But trousers, the big taped off. No, someone could die if you buy these trousers. I said, but pajamas are fine, but I can't get clothes from shoes for my kid for school. No, okay. And then I go into like the Eurosaver in Bridgewater. It's like, if you need novelty religious ashtrays, no problem. It was just, they're just making it up. And I was just like, this is insane.
It was that 2 kilometer thing as well. I remember driving down the seafront to go
where
to
you going?
Aldi. Yeah. Like it was a checkpoint, actually. It was like, roll your window down. Like, and me and Faye were like, we got our story straight, right? Yeah. So we're going to get stuff for your mam.
Is there an officer problem?
And I just remember, like, where are you off to? Like, we're just going down to Aldi to get shopping for my mom. She can't leave. She's 70. Yeah, right. Go ahead. And you're like, thank you, officer.
Thanks, sir. I
had a queue for this next hour. And like,
do you know what I found? Because I sweat, as you know, profusely. But wearing a mask
with glasses.
Yeah. I mean, I would be constantly, like, just boiling in this mask. But I wonder, like, and I'm not saying none of it was necessary, but I think it's telling that if that happened again, I don't think that would be the approach. You know what I mean? From most countries.
It's a really weird time in our lives. Like, it was a really
strange. Very weird.
And, like, I know I was talking about movies, but, like, and I will now for a minute.
Fuck!
Ari Aster, your guy who directed Midsommar and Hereditary, he directed a movie called Eddington.
Horror? With,
thriller, social satire.
Oof, you're saying all the wrong things.
But it's set in the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And it is, like, all about, like, part of it is, like, mask. You know, people wearing masks. The thrust of the start of the film. And literally the first scene is, like, Joaquin Phoenix sitting in his car, not wearing his mask. And he's a police officer. Another police officer pulls up to him and is like, you have to put your mask on to talk to me. And he's like, I'm in my car by myself.
Yeah.
And, like, at the time, I probably would have like, just put your mask on, man. And you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm like, he's by himself in his car. Like, the germs are with him.
You came up to me.
Exactly. I'm like, but it really makes you examine, like, the stuff that, like, at the time I was like, these fucking people put their masks on and, you know, while you're out and about. And now I'm like,
yeah,
was I a fucking asshole? Was I, like, too angry about all this stuff? You know, it's interesting. It points a mirror back at yourself. And like,
yeah,
what way did you act? Was I on my phone all the time? And have I been able to take that down since COVID?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's kind of, it kind of spiked during COVID and has come down. But, like, I don't think I was on my phone nearly as much before that.
No.
And, like,
I would say the same.
It's very interesting, but it's an interesting time to think about.
Do you remember, like, they would even have where it'd be like, it'd be a weird sort of sordid infatuation with, the news is up, let's see what the numbers are going to be.
Do you remember that?
It was like, this many hospitalized, this many dead. Like, compared to, and like,
it's going down.
It was like a weird, like, what are the numbers today? How many's dead today? How many's in hospital today? It's getting worse. Look at that graph. It's going, it's getting worse. You know, it was just very, like, very weird time.
So that's what we need. Another pandemic. Another pando.
We don't need that. Yeah.
Anyway. You think you're going crazy though, or
I put that on the docket. Yeah.
We start talking about pandemic, I think, and lockdowns,
it started small during the pandemic, and now it's turned into what I am now. But I'm like, I genuinely think that if you were to follow me around for a week, you'd be like, that bloke's fucking mental. Like for example, right, now I'm not proud of any of this, right, but like, say, first of all, I was leaving you a voice now, I don't know if I said it to you, and it was too windy or something, so I stopped, and I was like, but then I just kept talking, like, the phone's down, and I'm like, it's so fucking windy out here, Jesus fucking Christ. And then, like, someone passed, like, right beside me, I was like they're gonna think, okay, that guy is nuts. And then, like, there's a red van that's parked at the back of my house, been there for years, and I am, like, so, like, adamant about like I'm like, I'm gonna fucking pop these tires. I'm gonna scratch all along the side of it. And Kerry's like, we should just get the council to. And I was like, no, because I want them to know that there's repercussions for doing this sort of shit. Like the car, a car just parked in the middle of the road on Saturday. I put up in my story.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, this cunt in the car just right there, like 2 feet out from the path, in the middle of the road. They'll all go around.
Yeah.
And I'd love just to be like. You know, I would honestly, like, I'm not proud of this. I spat on a car, dude, last week. I was trying to get the pram down to the shop on a Sunday morning. There's a car, two cars parked right in the middle of the path, so I had to go up on the road and back down. Yeah. And on my way back, just still, and I was like, what have I become?
I gotta
like, imagine someone catching me, I'd be like, I'm so sorry about that.
Like, I could see myself doing that.
Do you know what I mean?
And like, then Faye be like, you're embarrassing. You're an embarrassment. Yeah. You're pathetic. And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, I am. Now, she's not using those words, but I could see her using those words because...
her eyes seem to suggest.
Yeah, because it was like... She's like, what are you doing? You're a 40-year-old man. What are you spitting on cars for?
I know.
But yet, when you're saying that, it's like, yeah, good for Andy.
I want them to know that there's... Because it's the...
Has the whole world gone crazy?
It's the arrogance of like, you know, like, no, they'll all move around. I know this is going to affect every car coming down this lane and they'll have to stop and wait. But they'll all go around. Like, the fucking balls.
Market zero.
I guess that's what happens, huh?
Yeah, when you find a stranger in the... Walter had it right. Walter Sobchak.
Who?
Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski.
Ah, Walter,
we could all just be more like Walter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is me putting the baseball bat through the windscreen. This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the Alps.
When you find a stranger in the Alps, Larry...
If you like The Big Lebowski and you haven't heard it yet, we did a whole Big Lebowski episode only a couple of weeks ago.
For free on the main feed, no less.
But what else is going on? What else is going on?
I put something on about emotions.
Oh, please.
In your 40s, right?
Yes.
And I've already talked about this before, but it was just it's a weird thing that I have. That it's like, kids...
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, it will make me quite emotional. My kids, like, you know, anything they do, and you're like, oh, Jesus, look at their little faces.
Yeah.
Or the other way, like, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, Faye's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. Excuse me. Because I'm like, somebody's just out there, like, tipping over a hot spills. Spills. I can't take it. I'm in the wrong business of being a parent.
You get irrationally mad at spills.
Like, and I'm trying to like keep it in check, but like, you know, I just find it hard when it's like somebody just for whatever reason is just like. Psh,
I mean, if it's an intentional, like,
psh, a lot of times it can be, if it's just like I move the cup because I can see his hands are gesticulating. I say it's mostly my little guy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'll just move that there. And then, like, Faye might move it back, or he might move it back, and then it just gets knocked over. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. That's
what I was trying to stomach against.
But what hit me was, I was listening back to our True Grit episode, available over on the Patreon for a little fee of €5 a month.
Part of our Matt Damon miniseries.
And when you played the clip, because I was like, the bit at the end where he's like, fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I was like, it just doesn't get much better for that for me. And I was driving, like, I just dropped Bonnie off at school and I was driving home. And that was playing. And then the music is swelling. And I was like, welling up in the car. Yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, and I'm like, what is that? I don't know. It's this like primal, like synaptical response that I'm like,
good word.
It's just, I'm like, why am I getting so emotional? Like, the music is swelling. I can feel it. It's like,
it reminds you. I feel like that reminds you of like going to the movies as a kid.
Something.
Like, Spielberg. You were only talking about Spielberg on the episode. Do you know that sort of just like, oh, you know, like the big crescendo, but the big, that particular music I thought was quite like old school.
Yeah.
That sort of like the old West or whatever, you know, like.
But it's more than that. Then I was like examining it. I was like, is it because in the movie, the way the movie has tricked you into like, well, Jeff Bridges is a son of a bitch, you know? Yeah. But then at the end, he's the hero.
Yeah.
And it's this thing that is like subconsciously seeped into you. Like, yeah, he is a good guy. And he's going to save everybody or whatever. And you're like,
I wonder though, but it seems to have a fast track to your emotions.
Oh,
do you know what
for
I mean?
For me, particularly, it cuts through.
To your.
Yeah. Cuts through everything. Like, I will be sitting and watching like that edit, the top 25 movies, and it's like,
what,
like close to. I'll be like, what is going on with me? That it's like, you know, I get the arms are standing up, my arms standing up now, but like, it's like the, you know, the cutco of like music and like images or whatever like that. Like,
it's like a bit overwhelming.
It really is sometimes. Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, like I have to stop watching this. Gonna be like, just like,
I wonder, because I would have it probably more with, I have it with songs from, any song from like before I was 20. And I'll find, I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this song in ages. And I'll be singing along to the car, and for whatever reason, it'll get to like the chorus. Usually if there's like a high bit in the chorus, and I'll be singing along, and all of a sudden I feel like a lump in my throat, and I'm like, where's that coming from? Yeah. Where's this emotion coming from? Like, it comes in the weirdest places, and it does happen with kids and stuff like that as well.
Is it just post kids that you have like unlocked the, you're never going to love anything as much as these things?
And I think, I wonder, is it because you're just,
and it's just coming out of you, you know what I mean?
You've been opened up to more love.
Yeah.
And when you're quite, before kids, you don't realise how,
like, I wasn't in touch really with my emotions at all.
Yeah, or, and it's not just properly, like, whether it's me and Kerry or you and Faye, it's just, we just only have to worry about ourselves. Like, you know, what's for dinner? Like, we sleep until 2? Sure.
Great.
You know what I mean?
Let's do that again.
Sounds great. But you know what I mean? Like, where you might be a bit more closed off, but you can't be that closed off when you have kids, so you have to open up the valve.
Yeah.
And sometimes some excess stuff comes out. Ewer.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, it's not the right time to be making those sort of innuendos, but you know what I mean? I feel like it's just kind of, there's something there that's just kind of spewing forth, should we say.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Good stuff.
Rhythmically spewing forth.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's all right.
Great.
Do we have anything else on the list?
A banger for Terry?
Yeah, but before we get to that, like, there was something else, wasn't there? Marlon Brando, you wanted to talk about.
Yes. So, did you watch that clip?
Yeah, I did. I hate that guy.
Marlon Brando?
No, the guy who's doing the clip.
Do you know who he is?
No, but I've seen him before on other stuff, and I'm like...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't think he was particularly annoying.
I just thought he was like...
Maybe you've seen him on other stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, all right, mate. You know,
I thought it was interesting because I've seen a few clips of Marlon Brando recently, and one, I mean, I'm quite taken aback by how attractive he was in the 50s.
First of all.
I mean, a fucking 10. And now he's a bit wonky eyed, a little bit.
Yeah.
If I'm really picking hairs, but like, I thought it was very interesting about what your man was saying about his. How he dressed, but particularly how he talked in the 50s.
Yeah.
Because I never really thought of that, because it's like, and the clip kind of showed it, where it's like in the 50s, it was all like overacting and like, ah, what do you mean? Yeah, not all, but was, you know, 95%. Whereas he was just very, almost mumbly and conversationally. It's like, oh, you're Blanche's sister. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you want to drink?
It is different. He's acting completely different to her.
A huge star back then. Because that
Dean. These are all these new guys that are like, whoa, what are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing over here? Like, you know?
And then I kind of went down a bit of a rabbit hole of like, seeing, like, I really would like to see him in more 50s movies, especially.
There's the two big ones.
On the Waterfront.
Yeah, and Streetcar Named Desire. Yeah. Like, they're the two big ones. There's another one called The Men, where he's, like, in a wheelchair.
Ooh.
Like, but he's never been my guy. He's never been
really latched onto him for any...
No, like, from that era, it'd probably be, like, Jimmy Stewart was my guy.
And
like,
it's a
completely different style
vibe altogether.
But when I just watched a few clips on the way over, and it's like, it is very natural as well. Like, it's like a person that would come into the shop and you'd have a conversation with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, particularly in something like Harvey, where you're like, well, yeah.
That was very, very early into our friendship.
Yeah.
You got me to watch Harvey. And I remember thinking like, huh, interesting. Like, because
black and white
said
movie
it was your
about
favorite
a,
movie, and it was like about a rabbit or something.
There's a drunk guy who sees a giant rabbit, but nobody else can see him.
Very ahead of its time for it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. A movie like that.
I mean, Donnie Darko was kind of like
like a dark spin-off version almost. But yeah, it just kind of made me think about actors in the 50s, and then I kind of looked at Brando's like life and career after that. It's like Apocalypse Now just showed up massively overweight, went off script all the time. It's had to tragic. Rewrite
the,
around him.
The like, I want to do Apocalypse Now on the podcast one of these times.
Yeah,
because it's incredible. But like, also the movie Hearts of Darkness, which is the documentary of the making of it. Like, so it's Francis Ford Coppola's wife did a documentary of it. And you know that episode of Community where it's like Dean Aline, where Jeff is the dean in the video? Yeah. Like, that's what it's kind of taking the piss off.
Oh, okay.
But like, Francis Ford Coppola like has like a nervous breakdown, loses loads of weight. Like, Martin Sheen has a heart attack while they're filming it. Like, Harvey Keitel was the original cast, fired him after 2 days.
What did he do?
It wasn't working. So they brought in Martin Sheen. But like, the whole thing was, it's because he had done The Godfather with Ford Coppola, that we're bringing in Marlon, and it's going to be, and then like, and he shows up 200 pounds overweight or whatever, like, and
demanded to be shot in
darkness. He didn't demand, like, no, he, Coppola was like, I need to do this.
Oh, was
it? He was like, he was very self-conscious about his weight. So it was like, they shot it, you know, it looks great.
If you hadn't eaten this much, you wouldn't be in this much.
That's it, like, but it looks great. But it is like that, where it's like the outtakes of what they didn't use.
I'd be more interested in like
fucking hell. What is he? Yeah, there's so much lore
around that movie.
Like, there's bits in it where there's the scene with Robert Duvall, with, you know, he's like, that scene, and when you're watching it, it's just like, everyone do what you want, and it's just explosions everywhere, like.
Okay, but we only have one shot at this.
That's what it is. And he's like, the authorities are killing me here. They say we can't fly the helicopters today, but we have to get this shot. Like, all this, like, the fucking stress.
That would make you never want to make another movie.
He hasn't made a good movie since then. Like, that was the end of his, like, he made.
So what was his run?
So his run is Godfather, Conversation, Godfather Part 2, and
Conversation good?
Conversation is great.
Oh, okay.
Gene Hackman, Surveillance State kind of movie, where he's a guy that, if I want to hear what you had to say, Gene Hackman is the guy to like bug your apartment.
Okay.
He might be sitting in a park reading the newspaper, and he would have a microphone in the newspaper without anybody seeing it. Kind of stuff. It's class.
But that was the end of him anyway.
He opened up his own studio, made a movie with like Raul Julia, like a musical called One from the Heart. Didn't work.
No.
Bankrupt, like all his money he put into it, like bankrupted himself. Because then he like started making studio movies. That's why he directed Jack in the 90s.
Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola directed
that. His last good movie was Dracula, actually. Bram Stoker's Dracula. The Keanu Reeves one. Gary Oldman,
that's who I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Like, that was his last really good movie.
Yeah, that was good.
And that was good. But like, last year, like, because he made his money back. He opened the wine vineyard.
Wow.
And like, made his money back. And then he's like, sold his vineyard to fund this passion project called Megalopolis. I tried watching it. I was like, this is bad.
Megalopolis?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I just found it. I didn't even finish it. I found it so hard to watch.
Is Sofia Coppola his daughter?
Yeah.
Lost in Translation fame? Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is his nephew.
I heard that. I only watched Lost in Translation again recently. Were we talking about
it? You were talking about it with Joni, yeah?
Not with Joni.
Didn't I watch it with Joe?
Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
No. Interstellar I watched with Joe.
Oh. And maybe it was like, oh yeah, you should be watching it. And then it was like, sucking on my teeth.
Yeah. But like, I see a lot of hate online for the scene at the end, because apparently the kiss wasn't scripted, that Bill Murray just kissed her and he was 52 and she was 17 and all this sort of stuff. He's a fucking creep. Freak, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's been a few, things the last few years about him.
Really?
I don't know if it's inappropriate stuff, but it was just kind of like he hasn't been in a movie.
Yeah, true.
Really. Like, he hasn't even been in a Wes Anderson movie, you know.
Yeah, if Wes isn't hiring him, what's he done?
Yeah, I think he was in Asteroid City. He was in like deleted scenes of, so like he was on set, but then it was kind of like, that was around the time of like, he was, you know, it wasn't that he was inappropriate, but it was just like, he's hard to be on set with, I think.
Say he is, big time.
Yeah, like...
You know what I mean?
But he's very much his own man, like, you know, he just does what he wants.
I mean, I like seeing him in movies. And when I was watching that scene again, because it kind of made me want to watch Lost in Translation more for like the soundtrack and the general aesthetic of the movie. And I was like, when I seen the kiss scene, I was like, oh, it didn't seem to catch her by surprise at all. You know, like maybe she's just a really good actress. Mm-hmm. I prefer actor, actually.
Well,
I'm more equal opportunity. I feel actress is a what's the word? It's like comedian.
It's reducted.
It's a comedian. Comedian.
I have something to say.
Yeah.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I'm watching a show.
Yeah.
It's a show called Widow's Bay.
Oh.
It's on Apple TV Plus.
No.
And I think you would quite like this show.
Yeah.
It's. Oh.
I was going to say I saw a movie.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah. It's about an island that it's like in New England or something.
Yeah.
It's like it's a really small island that nobody comes to, and the main character is the mayor, and he's trying to drive tourism. And what happens at the start is like there's a bit of an earthquake or something, power outage, and then the more you hear about the island, they have like 100 superstitions. The tale of the old hag, the tale of the killer clown guy, whatever. Like, yeah. It's comical, actually, right, how many there is. Like, and it is part comedy, but it's part horror as well.
Oh.
And the idea is, like, he's trying to drive tourism to the island. But then as more tourism comes, he starts to see that the island is really fucking creepy. Oh. And he's kind of, like, buying into the idea. He's going back and forth between the ideas of, like, is this place haunted and should I stop people coming? Or like, but I'm
making all this money.
I'm bringing money for everybody. I'm saving the island. I'm going to go down in history. Like, it's really good. It's a nice balance of like 35 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, it's like it's episode of the week, but it has a larger overarching theme. So it's kind of like,
you don't need to have seen the previous
one. Like, it's a little bit X-Files-y, like, you know.
Yeah, like a small thread going through.
Yeah, and like, you know, you could just, this is the episode where he has to spend the night in the haunted hotel to prove to the local townspeople that it's not haunted. It's a nice kind of throwback. And it's got like,
who's
the,
in it?
Matthew Rhys is the main guy.
Never heard of him.
He's a Welsh actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. But he's mostly TV, so maybe you haven't heard of him. Stephen Root, though.
Heard the name from you.
You know him.
You know
he's
him.
Milton.
Who?
From Office Space, and he was in.
Oh yeah.
And he's like the town crazy that he's like the island is awake.
That tracks.
You know, like it's just like a bunch of like.
It's such a shame it's on Apple TV though.
I know. That's you the know thing. Like I mean? I watch it.
When are they going to make themselves more accessible to Gen Pop?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You just need somebody with a login. You know.
By the way, I tried your Now TV login. Didn't work. I wanted to watch Malignant. As per your recommendation.
Okay, we're gonna do it before we go home. All right, I'm gonna set you up on it. Right,
great.
Okay, yeah,
great.
Because Malignant. Did you look up what it's about?
No, I just your synopsis was enough for me.
Okay, cool. I'll set you. We can talk about it. Yeah, it's good.
I did see Weapons also from your recommendation, which I was looking forward to anyway. I loved the concept of it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I think I gave it 4 stars in Letterboxd, maybe 3.5. I feel like I gave everything 3.5 stars. But
one of those guys, huh?
Yeah. But I think I might have gave it 4. But
I gave it 5.
Ooh. Well, also, par for the course.
It was like fifth best movie of last year, I think. Fourth or fifth.
I was on the list.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great from start to finish. I was entertained from start to finish. You know, it wasn't totally perfect, but it was exactly the sort of movie that I like. You know, unsettling, like what's going on?
My
any of these sort my of things.
Like the bit that had me laughing out loud in the cinema, and I thought it was fucking really apt, was when Josh Brolin has the dream, and he's like, Matthew, speak to me, Matthew, and then like he pulls the thing, and it's like like a glass, and he wakes up like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's like, I think I'd do that. I think I would react like that, like, what the fuck? But like there's so much, just little,
a lot of memorable stuff that stuck with me. But you like know what I mean?
The behavior of the characters in it are all very kind of real.
Yeah,
like the idea that like again, Josh Brolin's character, like, goes to see, like, one of the moms. Like, can I see your ring footage? And she's like, no, I'm not really comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
just waiting in the car. And then the husband shows up. And he just, like, walks up, hey, asks the husband. And he's like, yeah, come on in. And, like, the next scene is the wife is just standing there in the background while he's, like, showing him. He's like, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But, like, that kind of behavior, like, yeah, that's what he would do. Like, that, this alpha man, like, I'm going to get my way.
I'll talk to the man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'll wear down this little fucking cook.
Carrie was saying, like, the only thing she's thought was, like, one of my favorite scenes when she goes into the gay couple's house and has your man attacked the other one. It's like, whoa, like, that's unsettling. But, like, the whole thing of, like, getting the twig out and the water and wrapping the thing around and cutting your hand, it's like, it's like, we're watching, it's like, what? It's like if that was me standing there, I'd be like, sorry, what are you doing? Witch, are you? Like, waiting for this, like, to happen. Like, what are you doing over there?
But they're
there,
not really, like, paying attention to her, because she's just, like, blathering on, and, like, they're like, oh, it's just
what is this?
This strange
weird,
old...
you weird woman with your weird makeup and hair who's just come into the house and is now doing some weird ritual with cutting your hand.
I tell you, like, the bit in it where they're talking about the kids fleeing and it's George Harrison, Beware of Darkness.
Yeah.
I was like, let's fucking go.
I was thinking of you when that came up, because I was like, I think you put it on something after that. I remember thinking, like, oh, Terry, what's this?
Yeah.
It's like, what movie is this from?
Yeah. It's class. And, like, even the end, where all the kids going fucking crazy.
Yeah. It's not a spoiler, though.
Yeah, but it's
but it was very good. Very good.
He's doing, Zach Cregger is doing Resident Evil.
He has my vote of confidence.
Yeah, and it's the guy, the junkie guy in Weapons is the main guy. Is playing. He's not playing like Leon or Chris Redfield. He's just a regular guy in Resident Evil verse.
They should. It's mad that they haven't made Resident Evil.
They have. They made like 10 Resident Evil movies.
Did they?
Yeah. No. Mila Jovovich.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I tapped out after one.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it is ripe.
It's right there. We are running short on time, so let's hit everyone with
boom, 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 boom. It's bangers for Terry. Boom, boom, boom. What will you give me?
It's time to decide. She's out of my mind. It'll be me unless I put some thoughts to rest and leave some faults behind. I'll watch the grit in my eye, shine up the spring in my step. And it could be blinding depending on the amount of you that I reflect. Cause I could spend my life just trying to sift through it. I could have done better, but what could do what ifs do?
I found it hard. I'm not going to lie.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you have to have a heart of stone to not be like, fucking let's go with this. Music, how many times?
Give us a little bar of it.
Yeah,
there
no
again.
Problem, like, Terry. Yeah. I'll sing it for you if you want.
No, thank you. We're fine.
Now, the band, of course, is Reliant K.
Yes, of course.
Straight away.
Yeah, but, like, it's just... Okay. I know what my problem
is. Here we go. Right, so straight away, so you're like, oh, a bit of acoustic. Where's this song going? Is it going to be an acoustic song? Is it fuck? And then it kicks your ass again.
I've got it. I knew I was having trouble articulating it.
Go on.
It's like it's from American Pie Presents, you know, the Naked Mile or something. Like, it's like, it's like off brand punk pop. Like, what's it called? What are they called?
Reliant K. Yeah, I just said it.
Reliant K.
Christian pop punk,
like, no less. Yeah, fucking coming in. This is Satan, this house. Bringing fucking God up in here.
You didn't like like it.
I didn't like it, Andy. Yeah.
You really have closed the door.
I haven't. I've listened to every one of these, and I've given them the college try.
I can't believe that that doesn't make you go.
That's like so bland, though. Like, it is such like
it's a good treadmill song.
Nothing. That is.
Yeah, it's up there. One of my 40, you know.
It's 40
songs for my treadmill mix. Back in the gym, by the way.
Yeah, good work.
Twice since the last one. Hadn't been in about a year.
Yeah.
Eating healthy. Very good.
You say you're going on a fast or something? It's a no for me, by the way. It's a no. I can't
that's a shame.
I can't even articulate why. Like, I mean,
it's
I just
not for you. What about the second verse where it comes in with that palm muted? It's time to decide.
It's the voice.
It's out of my mind. Dun, 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 dun.
It's the voice. The
all right.
Genericness of it all.
Let me hit you with one more for next week. Now I've got a gauge. Right.
Andy,
it's too soft.
We've been doing this dance.
I got a real good one that you're either going to fucking be like, where's this been? Yeah. Or you're going to be like, just stop. Just stop.
Put me out of my misery.
Right, yeah. Okay. That's fine. But look, I feel like we need to wrap things up because we got a Patreon episode to record. What's that? You'll find out if you just pay us your money, £5 a month. We're on the final episode of the Matt Damon miniseries, The Martian. Do the Martians have two sexes? Like we do.
It's been quite a ride.
It has been quite a ride.
You know what? It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah, and you've got the Matt Damon miniseries. You've got a whole bunch of other mini-seri, like What's So Great About the MCU? What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies? What's So Great About the Movies of Ryan Gosling? 90s Action? Tony Scott? Heist movies? The movies from 2007?
Fucking nailed them all.
All a bunch of mini-series. And not only that, a bunch of top fives, a bunch of music episodes, a bunch of solo episodes. I mean, it really is a who's who of content over there. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yep. Well, if you can't afford the five
here
euro,
we go, everyone.
You can do me one more better now, Andy.
Yeah, Terry.
Kobe Mainoo scored the goal to make it 3-2 in a 5-goal thriller. And that's exactly the amount of stars that I want in my review.
Five stars, please.
A 5-star review would be great. Help grow the podcast.
Just a share. Just some engagement on the socials.
Absolutely,
even.
That'll
do me.
That'll do, jumped up 72 places last week in the charts, you know. Hovering around that top 20. I'd really love to crack the top 10, though, you know. So tell a friend, tag a friend.
Phone a friend. Hey, you're my friend. And Terry's.
You're also my friend.
I love you. He likes you. But he will love you if you pay us the money. Simple.
You get the big L from me behind the paywall. Cost you £5.
And you always have the big L from me. Ready and waiting for you.
Until next time.
We'll see.
Pain that often mingles.
Different in recording in studio as opposed to at home, where I'm like, so I've been watching some movies.
What next is lovely little movie
where the women are rose cheeked.
Hello.
All
right, yeah, that's good.
Okay,
you're in shot. You just make sure that you stay in shot. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Can everyone please stop getting shot?
Shot.